You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Reggie Hammond, your host for Finding Your Forte Talk Radio Show on Up to Me Radio. I'm really excited. I know I say that every week, but this is an extra special excitement to host our show today. I'll be bringing you our guest here shortly, but I just want to say hello to everyone. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta here on September the 20th. And we are really focusing our conversation today on building high-performing teams on purpose. And we happen to have the elated pleasure to be able to talk with a leader and about her team and the journey they've been on since we've done some specific and focused work around her team. So, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, I would really like to introduce you to – it's hard to give her a label because she's – a client, she's a colleague, she is a, more than any of those, she is a friend, a dear, dear, dear friend, and in a lot of ways a journey partner for a confidant and an advisor for the trajectory for your crescendo. So I'll try not to get too emotional during this conversation, but I'm really excited to be able to introduce you to my good friend, Ann Collins. Ann, did you say hello to everyone?
Good afternoon, and you are too kind.
I hope that you hold on to that sentiment throughout this conversation because I don't expect to continue to be kind in this conversation.
Uh-oh.
I'm glad that we both come from a line of thinking, you know, with that has a healthy respect for candor, you know, and brutal honesty, and I like to keep it that way in this conversation right now. She's probably nervous, everyone, that that this conversation is going in a direction that we had not talked about. But I'm really excited about this, Ann. I'm glad you're able to join us, especially given, I mean, because I have just been kind of watching the play-by-play of your life and career over the last few years, but even more specifically over the last couple of weeks, you have a lot to share. And I know that modesty is kind of part of your construct, so I'm going to ask you to be a little bit less modest today and share. Just why don't you kind of just start with giving sharing with our listeners, like, you know, who you are and what you're working on and you know, your role and organization, and then we'll start to talk about, you know, some of the journey that got you to here to this point.
Absolutely. That was kind of loaded. I think I have it all. My name is Ann Collins. I am the Director of Sales and Marketing at the Georgian Terrace Hotel in Atlanta. We are a historic hotel as well as a preferred hotel. We are managed by Chesapeake Hospitality and owned by Southerly Hotels. I am a mother of three. I am a devoted wife and a purpose-filled leader. Was there something that I left off?
No, but it's going to be the toughest thing for me in this conversation not to amen after every word you have to say. So after all those final things, I can attest to everyone, she is absolutely those things, and I really look forward to bringing those a little bit at a time to the conversation today. So thank you. Yes, you definitely dealt with the loaded question, but now let's kind of pull it apart a little bit.
Okay.
So one of the things that I really like about the journey and story that you and I've shared, you know, we started as personal friends and really only got to know each other professionally a few years ago. And I love to hear you share with others. I've kind of been on the listening side of this about how you went from the process of being a friend that brought your business acumen to be an advisor and helping me think about and stand up your Crescendo to then deciding that it was something that you wanted to experience for yourself. So, you know, would you mind, you know, tell the listeners like you tell everybody else how that experience went?
Well, and I'll actually go back a little bit further than that. For me, our first opportunity to work together professionally was my go-to-market strategy for a person or a business venture that my husband and I were entering, and I kind of got to see you in action, and I was like, okay, I have a really good friend and a really good business partner here that can kind of put us on the right path. So our go-to-market strategy with Alluring was our first opportunity to work together, but I still had a job at the time. So at the time, I'm pretty sure I was a sales manager, and I was working in the same building. I just wasn't working in this capacity. So at that time, I was a middle-level manager, and I was on a team, and just we were owned by another company, and we had a different management company, and I basically walked in the door of this building saying, okay, I'm probably going to lead this team at some point. I'll kind of go from sight to vision there because that was always my vision. And then taking it a step further, the previous management company was no longer going to have the contract because the hotel was being sold, and it's traditional in hospitality for the entire sales team to turn over. So I was actually going to take an opportunity with our previous management company going to Chicago as a director of sales. So it was an opportunity for me to basically diversify my resume, but the ultimate goal was for me to get back to Atlanta. And going through that process, I don't know if you remember or not, but Reggie, you kind of coached and walked me through what started out to be a bidding war, and you said, Anne, if you don't want to go to Chicago, stop this. You need to take the job and take the salary and see where the cards fall. And I did. So I stayed here at the Georgian Terrace and went into an associate director's position and had a larger role in managing the sales team. At that time, I saw the benefit of what was happening for other companies or other individuals that were going through the Finding Your Forte program. So I had pitched the idea to my boss at the time, and, you know, it was, hey, I think it's a great idea, but, you know, in the course of doing the pre-work, not saying that it wasn't any value, it was just we couldn't find the time was, you know, kind of always what it was, and I just kept saying, but this is so important, like, this is going to kind of change the trajectory of our office, this is going to yield more results, and we just couldn't find the time. So I actually took that opportunity to go through the Finding Your Forte program myself. And I still used all of the pre-work that the team did complete to kind of understand how to maximize A, B, and C players and those things. And then I was like, whoa, wait a minute. No, this is really important. So I kind of had an opportunity to sit in the co-pilot seat in the environment that I now lead and start working on a strategy to progress the team as a whole, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So then to kind of fast forward, I had to kind of have some transition on the team and bring in new players, and now I need to get this information that I already have on the other players, on the new team members, so that we can kind of start this progression. So in lieu of us not having time, it's like, hey, we're just going to have to take a day or two out of the office to get this done, and it literally changed a lot for not just myself but for the team. And I'll take a couple of steps back. When I went through Finding My Forte, I actually felt the transition of me being a manager to becoming a leader. And I don't think that that's something that I necessarily could have done on my own, because it forced me to question some of my own thoughts, not to take everything so serious, but also to be genuine and transparent when leading people. So, again, there was a transition there for me that happened before I was able to really help my team, if that makes sense.
It does.
So then we go into our sales retreat is basically what I did with the team, and we brought Reggie in, and he brought in a group of facilitators that basically went through our pre-work, and we kind of framed up looking at our passions and looking at our purpose, and we walked away with the mission statement as a team. We were able to connect and hear other people kind of talk and walk us through things that we were experiencing, challenges that we were having. But ultimately, I think one of the greatest takeaways was we left with an identity as a team. Not even that we all agreed about everything, but there was just this unity that I saw. And then we walked away saying that we would have no artificial harmony. So we kind of worked on the five dysfunctions of a team, and it literally transformed our environment.
You know, I remember that experience, and I remember thinking how powerfully cohesive you guys became, even during the session and going out of it. I'm accustomed to when I'm doing the building high performing team work, I'm accustomed to kind of, you know, walking away from the experience and then, you know, kind of debriefing it and beginning to post it on social media eventually, you know, kind of in solopreneur mode. But I really couldn't keep up with y'all. Y'all had so much momentum coming out of it by the time, you know, I got to post social media. I just had to tag myself on all the posts that you all had done. You all had things that kind of came out of the experience. Specifically because I started borrowing it. I loved the mantra y'all embraced around be awesome because we are.
That's our hashtag.
Right, right. And so, you know, that I just feel like, you know, that alone gave me quite a pretty strong, you know, predisposition that you all were headed to someplace special in terms of the next year, in terms of how you and your new leadership were going to be able to play a significant role in forming this team that, you know, that we now know, and I would love to have you share, started to unfold in a way that you guys had, you know, kind of award-winning performance as a team.
And that's actually for two consecutive years. So we had some corners to turn in terms of revenue in 2016, which was when we did the retreat that you facilitated. So that year we won best overall performance as a sales team or as a hotel. And then this year, this was pretty it was monumental in more ways than one. So our management company, and I'll just kind of tell a little bit of their story. Our management company, which is Chesapeake Hospitality, it's two brothers that are the president and the VP of sales for our management company. And then our owner, the president of our REIT, our real estate investment trust, he's also brothers to the two gentlemen that own our management company. So this was actually the company's 60th anniversary, and their father started with a motor lodge in Maryland, and they basically have grown this to 32 hotels in our portfolio right now. And then the Drew Sims, who owns our hotel, he has grown his portfolio with Southerly Hotels to see the 13 or 14 hotels. So again, just to be a part of something that legacy. You and I talk about that all the time, but then for our property to be tasked with being the host hotel for the 60th anniversary was a gift, and it was a blessing because it gave us an opportunity. One, it kind of goes back to that whole team concept and team mentality because no pressure. We had our owner and the people from our executive leadership team and our building for an entire week.
Right.
So you talk talk about pressure. And then on top of that, it was the 60th anniversary for the company. So, again, our staff is amazing. They do a lot of things well. So the preparation was probably the most tedious piece. Because, again, for me, I am an over-preparer, so I probably put a little bit more pressure on myself than I needed to and the team. I just wanted to make sure things went off without a hitch. And this year we were able to bring home two awards, so it was Renovation Excellence and the Marketing of the Year Award. So, again, all team efforts. Which is one of the things for me, I keep saying, in hospitality environments, your sales team is kind of like a portion of the body, and we're either the heart or the brain. I haven't really figured it out yet, but you can't survive without one or the other.
Either way, it's a critical organ.
It's a critical organ, and, you know, I think even the team understanding that we basically are providing an opportunity for our other team members to provide for their families based on the amount of revenue or business that we bring into the hotel.
Wow.
So, again, I think from an awareness perspective, some of the education piece that happened for me over the course of the My Forte and working with the team, I kept saying, aha, there is more of an awareness perspective that needs to happen here. And it has. I could talk about this forever, so I'll let you ask me another question.
Well, I mean, that's why you're here, to talk about it forever, for at least for the hour that we're together. But I think that's definitely worth exploring further, because, you know, having gone through the Forte experience with you, which I applaud that you went through it, and then you said, and then you insisted on trying to find a way for your team to get through it. I applaud, you know, kind of your you know, persistence in making that, you know, a priority. And all the time I encounter leaders that look at the really tangible outcome projected from the work that we can do through these kinds of retreats, but then they can never make it a priority. And I just, I think about this cartoon that someone recently shared with me where, you know, they've got all kinds of problems, and there's this guy who's pushing a wheelbarrow, but the wheelbarrow has square wheels on it, and so it's like this retreat is like a round wheel. So I'm handing them this round wheel. Hey, you want this? And he goes, no, I got it. I don't have time for that right now. And he keeps trying to push the square wheels. And so I applaud that you saw that the wheels, you know, could use a little rounding so that they could roll better. From, you know, what I want to really kind of come back to and have you expand on is, you know, I know from going through this experience, you feel called to empower other sales professionals and be able to coach and develop and train them to be as, you know, high octane and, you know, high performing in their sales role. And I really appreciate you just sharing that, you know, kind of the role that you provide for any organizations is like you know you're kind of like the hunter for the organization. You go out and get you go out and get killed for you all to eat, I think that just brings a whole nother, like, it just illuminates another level of purpose for sales professionals, and certainly something that you can leverage when you're trying to inspire and motivate them.
I think touching on something that you said, you know, I think from an organizational perspective, this, you know, aligning purpose and passion with strengths, that's kind of new for a lot of organizations. So, again, you need to be able to see the value add in order, you know, to have true takeaways where there is an actionable item. So, you know, like, we just had our annual conference, and our keynote speaker was absolutely amazing. But, again, I heard purpose and I heard passion all throughout the conversation. So I think even for team members, when you ask people, like, you know, what are your gifts? What's your passion? People don't just know that, or what you think it is. what I found out myself, what you think it is, it absolutely may not be that. You know, it's not wrapped up in a pretty box for you to open. It's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to start operating, you know, from purpose and passion. What I actually think from a leadership perspective, it has been a little bit more challenging to now digress from that based on what I have experienced. So once I went through the finding my forte, it's kind of like there's this conviction piece that's there. Because I'm very clear on what my passions are. I'm pretty clear on what my purpose is, at least at this moment. So I have a kind of baseline or a guide to go by. So I'm trying to figure out, and I'm looking at a lot of other sales leaders and sales managers saying, if you don't have this guide, how are you operating? Like, what's your driving force other than the monetary or the tangible items? Like, what keeps you on this path? Or, you know, how do you look at your next steps? Even, you know, in talking to sales professionals, not them not having their short-term and medium-term and long-term goals. So, again, how do you know where you're going? And that was probably one of the biggest pieces for me, because it's hard to manage or lead people that aren't necessarily sure where they want to go. So, you know, in a lot of companies, the mantra is, hey, let's talk about where you want to be next year. How do I help you with that if you don't really know? So that's one of the things I think that was monumental even for my team and during the workshop, because they went through the finding their forte, and there were questions and things that they had to answer that challenged them to think about what was next for them.
And then we were able to, even after that, given your mantra around each one teach one, you know, I love that we, you know, kind of walked away from that experience, and then they were able to adopt that and try to take it back to, you know, their colleagues elsewhere. And each of the people that were a part of the retreat brought some other colleague to a luncheon that we had to introduce them to the process as well. So yeah, again, kudos all around for the extent to which you kind of permeated the finding your forte experience through your team and even beyond. You know, I guess, you know, what I think would be really helpful is if you could talk, you know, put that experience, professional experience, you know, share with us, like, what is the context for that? Like, what does that mean in terms of, like, what you expect your life impact to be in terms of, you know, thriving from a sales and business performance perspective, and what that means for the legacy that you leave for your children that you so very intentionally think about in all your decisions? You know, share that conversation that you're having with yourself or with me. And kind of how you're thinking that through.
The podcast version of the story, it's kind of, for me, it's getting up every day, believing in something other than myself, having like a personal and professional mission to teach somebody something every day and to learn something myself. Every day, but also understanding that there are objectives that have to be met. So just reminding myself to be firm and fair, not to take myself too serious, but to also be the voice of reason, not only for myself, but for the team when I need to be. I think in being genuine and transparent, reliable, trustworthy, those are things that help the organization, as well as it builds relationships with clients. So for me, that contributes to financial gain, because people tend to buy from people that they like. So I'm not really selling, so I genuinely enjoy what I do. The financial gain translates into me being able to live a balanced lifestyle that I aspire and will continue to live, but also in positioning myself by expanding my network and expanding my opportunities just in, you know, meeting people and being able to be a solution for a lot of our customers. You know, in B2B sales and then B2C sales, a lot of people, oh, you sell hotels, like, what do you do? So even just the education piece that kind of goes into an awareness piece, and then people, oh, wait a minute, this is happening at my company, let me refer. And so, again, I just, sales and what I do is not just my profession. That's kind of my life, but it all ties into, I guess, my purpose. Into my purpose. But again, it's still, I'm able to live out my purpose statement by teaching someone something and living my life to the fullest. And then also making sure that our owners have a return on their investment, for which I'm compensated for. So again, it's kind of like a circle, I guess, for me. Not just working.
Yeah, I think that is really powerful and compelling, and definitely speaks to why you and your teams have consistently performed. The extent to which that is part of your construct is to, you know, make sure that your employer's investment is returned. You know, we talked a little bit about vision, but I would love for you to share, what do you foresee on the horizon for yourself, you know, both within, you know, within your team and your property and the hotel group, and then, you know, bigger picture, what is the, you know, think big, start small look like for you going forward?
So in terms of my team, again, the each one teach one in me continues to say, I need to have at least 10 ands on my team. So, again, in constant coaching and communicating, and, again, having the not-so-fun conversations, but also giving them everything that I have so that they are set up for success and that they are able to kind of take on the same motto of each one teach one and give that information or those skills to someone else. That's my immediate vision and long-term vision for anybody, or for especially for the people on my team. That's one of the most important things for me. I think this will probably be one of the most lucrative years that the hotel will have or has had. So again, for me, professional goal to make sure that 2018 is even better than 2017. I'm actually getting kind of scared looking at some of these numbers. I think this will be one of our highest grossing revenue months, and it wasn't projected to be so. Even right now, I think we're already at 100% of our group budget for the year. We just need to work on catering and transient. So I don't think we'll have any problems achieving overall hotel revenue. But I'm already working on 2018.
Wow. And I guess that's why you win awards.
And I'm a bit competitive as well, and so are the people that I work with. So it was a couple of awards. I was like, that was supposed to be mine.
And they are on your radar for next year, huh?
They're already on my war board.
Oh.
It is an annual thing.
Okay. Well, that's so exciting. I feel really personally and professionally connected to your team after having had that experience. It thrills me to be able to come and, you know, when I come to see you and to check in with everybody. There's been some, you know, great stories. I hopefully we'll be able to share a couple of, you know, anecdotal insights as we, you know, after we come back from the break. But for now, I think what we can do is, why don't we just kind of pause here? Let's put a bookmark in this conversation. And, you know, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, and what I really like to do is, you know, broaden the conversation a bit to talk about how and what your lessons learned have around building high performing teams, what those lessons learned, what it is you would say to other sales leaders like yourself, your peers, that might have them have some of the same experience of purpose fulfillment and high performance and, you know, award winning experiences. So But for now, let's take a break, and we'll come back as soon as we are able to hear from our sponsor.
Absolutely.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
And we are back again, listeners. If you're just joining us, this is Reggie Hammond with the Finding Your Forte Talk Radio Show on Up to Me Radio. And we have the just over the top exciting experience of spending the hour with Ann Collins. She is the director of sales and marketing for the Georgian Terrace Hotel, which just personally is my favorite hotel in the city. So, and I really would like to kind of revisit the conversation where we put that bookmark. And, you know, as you think about people that are, you know, you have colleagues across, let's just say hospitality, because these are people that you can really easily relate to, although sales leadership is just as relevant and useful. If you were to talk to them about the importance of purpose in the context of having them become, you know, either continue to on their path to being a high performing team, you know, what would you share? What would you say are your lessons learned from the journey you've been on?
I think number one would be understanding who your team members are, and understanding what's important to them and how to get them to maximize or to get them comfortable. So I always take this back to the A, B, and C players. How do you manage or lead or progress an organization or a department if you don't truly understand who the people are? That was probably the most important takeaway for me. And because my team is small, I have an opportunity to have, you know, genuine conversations with them to understand how I can help them, not just how they can help the organization. So it's a benefit or a win for both. That probably would be at the top of the list for me. And then, you know, going into them truly understanding the objectives and the targets and what the, you know, what the plan is, like having a specific, and it's easy to do in sales because, again, you have a budget and you either achieve it or you don't. But, you know, having often checkpoints. So, again, you should be just as responsible for owning this information as I am. You should be able to tell me where we are and how much we need to go on a consistent basis. We shouldn't just talk about this, you know, once a week at our sales meeting. This is something we need to discuss every day. And then where are you, you know, to your goals? What do you need to get there? What do you need me to do? So, again, I basically have a peer-managed environment. Although I have the title of director, that's not really my role on this team. My job is to be of assistance where I'm needed. And then just not asking people to do things that I'm not willing to do. And, you know, I heard someone say recently on the team, and you're mastering this delegation thing. And I looked at him and I said, but you're learning, right? So, you know, again, having candid and open relationships, but that all goes back to trust. And, again, in environments or on teams where trust is not there, what foundation do you have to build on?
I mean, that's really powerful. That's really that's worth just letting, you know, echo off the walls, as you can appreciate, you know, what that really means. And if you take that kind of to the next level and you start to think about, well, then where are there, like, you know, first of all, just the astuteness that you had around understanding your people, your own people individually, and to be able to figure out how to best architect their best performance based on who they are as an individual kind of lends itself to that whole optimizing A, B, and C players conversation. And I feel like you really did that masterfully. And part of that process is really being willing to have the adult conversation that some people are just not going to, you know, are not where they are purposed to be on the team. And that's okay. And I know that you've, you know, kind of been working through, you know, navigating, you know, help, you know, having those conversations where they've been helpful. One of the things that I've always applauded about your, that's part of your leadership mantra with your team is, you know, if someone decides that this isn't the place for them, you know, you don't take a, you know, well, that's it, get out of here, you got 2 weeks kind of perspective with them. You take a perspective with them, hey, you know, why don't you continue to deliver in your world role, you're performing, and then let's figure out where you should be long term. And then you're able, and you have been, you know, more than patient around, you know, allowing people to, you know, kind of find themselves as even when it the themselves that they're finding is, you know, on someone else's team. I really applaud that about, you know, the way you approach leading your folks.
Well, you know, and again, it kind of for me, and you know, I don't like the I think that kind of goes back to when you have or when you build relationships, professional even relationships with the people that are on your team or that you work with every day. It would just be callous to say, you know, I don't care about what happens to people that you've grown to know. So, again, on our team, it's more so a family environment, but that's the mantra of our company. They really are family, but that's the same thing that we have in our office. So, again, someone in your family dies, we all know about it. It's some, you know, just things that are monumental for us all. We either all celebrate or we may all cry. That's the type of environment we have, but that also fosters an environment to be able to have tough conversations and to be able to hold people accountable and it not be taken personal. You know, because again, when people leave jobs, most people don't leave because, you know, they have a better opportunity. They're leaving the boss or the environment just isn't for them. So, again, just trying to study that model and take the approach, hey, let me understand why this environment doesn't work for you, because it may be something that as a leader I need to revisit. So, again, I think, but that's the learner in me. And that's, you know, one of the things I found out from StrengthFinder, these things, now that I know what they are, it's natural for me to embrace them, which, again, I keep going back to, that was why finding my forte was so, I guess, so important and helpful or impactful for me from a leadership perspective.
You know, that sets up a good conversation that I would really love to hear your perspective on, for benefit of, you know, people that don't have a chance to process this often. But, you know, so as we think about, you know, you have been a staunch advocate for purpose as a, you know, kind of personal leadership development factor in the way people grow within their careers and within your business, and you've seen the merits and the trade-offs of that. You know, what would you foresee as the future workplace, as you think about more and more teams and organizations embracing purpose as a way to execute, a way to perform, a way to strategize and plan, and then a way to be able to develop people. You know, how do you see the workplace changing as that happens?
It absolutely. For me, it's a culture impact thing for me. So again, depending on what the pillars of your company are, for me, I knew that I was at home with this company because the pillars are honesty and integrity. So again, those are things that resonate with me as a person. But once you start to have leaders and people that are, you know, hiring and training people, when they're operating on purpose, you kind of like know when you're interviewing somebody that this is probably not a good fit for them, but you also create a culture where other leaders and people in their environment are comfortable having conversations with maybe even their boss, saying, hey, no, that doesn't necessarily sound right. So it truly progresses the culture of a company, or at least that has been my experience, because you are able to usually have conversations that, you know, I need to go to HR to have this conversation. Well, by the time I've gotten to HR at this point, we're probably on our last steps.
Right.
Or, you know, we're getting ready to start documenting our last steps. But again, that's where the environments and the teams, people thrive when they feel good about what they're doing. So, you know, it used to be, and this was my experience as a sales manager, I had some bosses where it was, no, this is what your goal is, and don't you worry about the budget. But you're asking me to get to a number that I don't understand. Or you're saying we need this. So, again, it fosters an information shared environment. It's just, again, I could speak about this forever. It's just so many different levels that operating from a position of purpose and understanding your purpose and aligning those with your strengths and your passions to not only navigate through your professional career but through your personal life. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things for me is I operate the same way at home that I do at work. So I'm the same person on and off the clock. But there are a lot of people in leadership roles that have this mentality of I have to be someone different at work than I am at home. Well, where are you living out your purpose and operating where these are in line with your passions and your strengths to be able to progress your team or an environment or an organization? So again, when you have leaders who aren't really clear, aren't passionate about what they do, that dictates what happens with the team. So then how do you accomplish results?
Right. And I think that's really, I think that's a thing that many leaders miss, you know, that, you know, they have these grandiose or even just on target expectations for performance from their people, but they don't want to, you know, they just don't want to invest the time and energy to figure out how to do things differently in a way that inspires their most, you know, meaningful contributions in a way that drives performance.
So it based on what you said, and then the conversation, that's kind of like having an expectation without a realization, or like having ongoing conversations. It's
right,
not realistic.
Right.
That's almost the definition of insanity.
Right, right. And we'll stop short of just, you know, calling leaders by and large, broad and large, insane, but in a lot of cases, it definitely, begs to some scrutiny. It begs some scrutiny just to try to understand, you know, how you can create a trajectory and growth with those kinds of kind of locked in thinking. You know, one of the things that, and I'll bring the benefit of our personal relationship a bit to this part of the conversation. I'd really like to kind of see if we can go there. One of the things that I know is prominent in your ability to perform individually and then in terms of the way that you lead your team is your faith. And I know just from our conversation that it plays a really prominent role in just kind of getting you in the right state of mind to be able to face and tackle adversities as they happen, as they certainly will, in terms of being a good steward of the people who are under your care. There's so many places where that shows up. And I really do, you know, the reason I bring it up, because I think there is some, you know, it's a teachable moment for a number of leaders to be able to embrace some of the same practices. So, you know, if you don't mind, would you kind of share, you know, how you see your faith playing out in terms of the way that you deliver in your business?
Well, it's 100% of who I am. So again, you sounded as if there was some hesitation from you about asking me about that. But again, if you know me or if you come to know me, people know that I am a woman of faith. But it is, it's a testament of who I am and why I think I'm successful. But it's also the ongoing journey of learning. So again, just having something, and I think I said this at the very beginning of the conversation, having something that you believe in other than yourself. And that's one of the things where it gives me compassion, but it also gives me an ability to be firm. But it also, it's kind of like a gut check for me. Just kind of like, are you operating from a place of honesty and integrity? Or are you just trying to get things done? So it's always like a gut check for me. And it's, again, the stories that I hear on or the sermons that I hear on Sunday, it's usually relevant information for something that either happened in the week prior or something that I'm going into in the following or into the next week. So, yeah, it's a lot of who I am.
And do you know, how does that show up in terms of, you know, your team dynamics? I mean, does your team and or your leadership acknowledge it, and, you know, are they, you know, people of faith as well, or
when I got an email when I first went into this actual role, and we got an email from the CEO, and it was around the holidays, and it was a God bless. I was like, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be. And even at our leadership conference last year, that was my first time attending. Our COO, he was our COO. Our COO is basically doing his speech, and he's talking about his children and them going to he takes off of work for a week to go to this camp with his son where there are special needs children, and they spend the week volunteering. And, I mean, you needed clinics at every table in this room, and I'm looking around, and everyone is emotional. And it just, I was like, yep, okay, I'm right at home. So, again, the things that speak to the character and the connections, and even in the tough conversations, you know, that people will have to or have had to have with me, it was you still felt respected. It wasn't, and that's just not common in, or it hasn't been common in the environments that I've worked in before. So it's just, again, you could tell that they believed in something other than themselves. And that's the mantra that they continue to kind of translate out to us as leaders, to make sure that we get that down to our staff and kind of along the lines with the team. Again, I have from Christians to Protestants to atheists on my team. And again, we all believe in something bigger than ourselves, even if it's just being kind to mankind. So again, respecting people's space, respecting them for, you know, who they are and what they believe. I just, yeah, I could speak forever about that as well.
Well, I definitely, for one, am I'm excited that you did, you know, you did share your perspective there. I do think it is one that resonates with a number of people. And in a lot of cases, it's kind of what allows you to be able to show up in an inspired way. And I really just want to, you know, thank you for spending the time with us today. This has been a really helpful conversation. I always walk away with a ball of energy whenever I have conversations with you. And so I was really excited about bringing this to Finding Your Forte show, because I hope that listeners would then have that same experience walking away from having heard the experience, you know, heard you share more about your story. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and whenever your crescendo grow turns into this mega fortune company, again, you can use me on your ads.
Something tells me that you will have been along for the ride well before we got to the point where we're making ads. So, and I'll just park it. There's a good parking point. Why don't we just pull out the garage? And well, thank you, Ann. And for our listeners, thank you for joining our show today. This was, for me, quite a privilege to be able to have this conversation with a dear friend, client, and colleague. And I hope that you are able to take away from it some nuggets around how you might be able to build a high-performing team on purpose. I would love the opportunity to discuss that further with you. And if you would like to have that conversation, please feel free to reach out to me. My email address is reggie.hammond@yourcrescendo.com. I encourage everyone else to, as we walk away from this conversation, and we'll close out here just shortly with a song that I like to kind of keep in constant rotation for me. It's called Free Your Dreams by an artist by the name of Shante Khan, who recently will be or soon will be releasing a new album, actually. And trust me when I say there is more very exciting news on that front coming. So as we finalize that, I look forward to being able to share it. But for now, please go and download that song on whatever listening platform you choose to use music. And until then, next week, we will hope that you'll have a great day. Be prosperous. Go out and find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Have a great day, everyone.
My face. I'm counting all my blessings.